Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. Another day of drama at the Australian Open yesterday. Most of it centred around arguably the greatest the sport has seen, Rafa Nadal. Louise Fleming was that good with us yesterday, part of SEN's tennis commentary team, that she's back by popular demand. Morning again, Louise.
Oh, gosh, come on. You're just rubbing me up here. Good. Great stuff, Jules. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It was a bit sad yesterday, wasn't it, watching Rafa out on court after he sustained that hip injury. Do you fear, like a lot of us, that that might be the last time we see him in Australia?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, come on, let's not have that one. I want to have a great day. I want to have a great week. I want to have a great 2023. I can't think like that. Look, we obviously know it's getting maybe closer. How much pain tolerance does this human have? No, it was very sad. Obviously, he's been trying to get his body absolutely right for quite a few months. He's had a few niggles. And he's not a guy. He's got so much class. He wouldn't walk off the court injured. He'd rather limp off and just make sure that Mackenzie McDonald had that win against him. I think he hates all his career, really, just to walk off and retire. So, you know, he's going to limp over the line and just be respectful at always for his opponent. But very sad for the tournament. Obviously, you know, now there's a lot of other guys that are licking their lips and just thinking, okay, that's one guy that's eliminated. But there's still a whole bunch of tough guys out there. There's no question about that.
How do you think, well, we threw this up at the top of the show, how do you think he'll look back, if this is his last, and we hope it's not, even if he's only got one to go, for example, how do you think he looks back on his Australian Open journey? It's been such an interesting tournament for him. He's won it twice. He's lost the final four times. So often his body has let him down and probably cost him the chance to win another couple, where, you know, French Open's been so successful for him, same as the US Open. It's been a real roller coaster when he's played in Australia.
Yeah, look, it has. I mean, there's no question about him that he's the king clay. He loves the red. You know, that's what he grew up on. That's what his mentality is. And as a tennis player, you find your niche and you push that niche. Now, to think he's won 13 Roland Garros is absolutely phenomenal. And you go, okay, well, my game plan, my game style really suits that. Does it really suit the faster playing Australian Open? Probably not. There's other guys out there where their bodies just sustain that effort on hard court a little bit better. One of them is Novak Djokovic. We know that he's like a piece of elastic out there on Rod Laver Arena. So I think he'd be pretty happy. I mean, he won some really great matches where his body just held up. I mean, I think you'll look at 2022 last year and say that was probably the best effort coming from behind, beating Medvedev. I think he absolutely really loved that journey last year. That was probably his ultimate at the Australian Open, I would say.
Yeah, it was an amazing performance 12 months ago. Now, have you ever played in a tennis match where you've had a rally that went 70 shots, like we saw last night with Jason Kubler's match with Karen Khachanov?
Look, when I was about 14, I might have been off to do that with some farmer in Wagga where we were just popping them over the net, you know, hitting them really soft and not trying to miss. Phenomenal. I don't know. That was incredible. I actually watched that. I had to re-watch it. You could hear the commentators just laughing in the background, and you could hear people as the rally went on. They were just going, is this for real? I just wonder if Jason didn't tag the net going down on the backhand down the line there, whether would have we seen another 30? I mean, this was
like
just watching one of the best, practice warm-ups ever, but with like a whole lot of pace and power behind it. It was incredible. No, you don't often see that at all.
No, it was incredible stuff. He was pretty good, Jason Kubler, probably as we expected with the three men that were playing yesterday. It was going to be tough. You know, John Millman was pretty good early against Daniel Medvedev. Good experience for Rinky Hichikita. But in the end, those three men were, I guess, just outclassed by better players.
Yeah, look, I mean, Medvedev, you know, he's he kind of plays, in a way, a more aggressive style of John Millman, you know, except he just is like a brick wall. He does it better. He's taller. He's got longer reach. He's got a bigger serve. I thought Johnny did a good job of trying to open up the court, hang in there, come in, hit some volleys. He was always going to be behind against Medvedev. I mean, Medvedev is, he's phenomenal on hard court. He's back in down the line. It just blows me away. Sitting down on Rod Laver Arena commentating that match, it just reminds you, you know, the level that these guys play. It's phenomenal. So, no, a great effort for Millman to get through that four-hour five-set match the day before or 2 days before, but then to turn around and to play and to compete at that level and hang in like he did. I thought that was a great effort.
Speaking of Louise Fleming, part of the SEN Tennis Commentary Team, day four of the Australian Open not too far away. Danielle Collins had an interesting moment, a bit of a premature celebration in that tiebreak. Just forgot that the super tiebreaks go to 10 points now.
Yeah, I know. That happened the other night too. I think Andy Murray wasn't completely sure as well. And he was asked after. And then he said, yeah, he said, I kind of, couple of points in, and then I realised it was 10. And when you get to 7-1, you still think, gosh, I could still lose this. That's the thought process. It's a bit different. But yes, Danielle got a little bit excited there and didn't realise there was still a few more points to play.
Did Maria Sakkari have a point in her match yesterday? The celebrations from her opponents she thought were a bit overly aggressive, and she said to the umpire, if she does that again, I'm going to call for the referee. Did she have a point in with that complaint?
No, absolutely not. I commentated that match. Diana Schneider, the young Russian, I mean, absolutely not. Maria just was feeling up against it. I mean, she's number six in the world. Diana Schneider's 106. This is one of the most phenomenal stories I've ever heard of. This young girl, 18 years of age, just 12 months ago, was ranked 1,053. She has absolutely rocketed up the WTA Tour. She's 900 spots in 12 months. I need to look that up and just see if any other player,
yeah, that's incredible,
has done that. No, in 12 months, amazing, and won a WTA event along the way. I mean, yeah, I was watching that match, and she's amazing. A lefty, she's solid, she served unbelievably well. Watch out for that name. I mean, she's meant to go to college next week or in 2 weeks' time. Are you kidding me? With $150,000, she'd have to say, no, I can't take that because I'm an amateur. No way. She'll go and play on the tour. She can't go to college.
She was very impressive. So today we've got Kimberly Birrell in action, who's still she's a reasonably young player, reasonably inexperienced player, but she's got the experience over her opponent today, just 17 years of age.
Yeah, look, this is not an easy match. Linda Fruvatova, she's from the Czech Republic. She's another one of these superstar young girls coming on the tour. Look, Kim was phenomenal in the match against Kaya Kanepi. Lost the first set. Kaya's a big hitter. What you can't do with some of these girls that play like a machine, that hit the ball like a bullet, you've got to mix it up. You've got to take them out of their rhythm. And that's exactly what Kim Birrell did. She's a counterbuncher. She stands on the baseline and redirects the ball very well. And most of the girls want to have power to use so that they can hit, you know, big and have that kind of energy off the ball. Kim just took the power away. Kaya didn't know where her forehand was. She then ran out of steam. It was the hottest day in Melbourne for the, you know, for the Australian Open. So a whole lot of luck turned around for Kim Birrell. She's now got to reproduce that against the younger player. I don't think she'll walk out there thinking she's got her number. This young girl plays about 300 matches every 2 years. She's one of the young girls that just plays a lot of matches, but also plays a lot of exhibitions. And very tough match. She's going to have to be at her absolute best and just perform with the intellect that we know Kim can play with. But she's got to mix it up. She's got to try to take away any of the assets that Privatova has.
Before we get on to the Aussie men today, Louisa, Jared Healy last night on Sports Day threw up a belief that he says the semi-finals and the final for the women at Grand Slam should be extended to best of five sets, which might produce some more sort of classic matches at that stage of the tournament. Does that idea have any merit in your eyes?
Look, I don't think so. All it's going to do is, you know, for women's tennis, it's just going to say, right, who is the absolute fittest? Who's going to just run around? And are we just looking for fitness? Because otherwise we'll just go and watch the Olympics and just watch the 400 metres and the 800 metres. I want to watch a little bit of class. I want to see, you know, just different players, the way they hit, the way they perform, and make it a mental battle. I mean, Ongeber, if you just looked at, say, Sabalenka and Ongeber, maybe Sabalenka can run side to side better. Ongeber can maybe run forwards back better. You know, they all bring something a bit different. I can't see any merit in it. I still think, I think it would send people a little bit away from the game. For me, I would find it a little bit more boring.
Okay.
I don't know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Now, I think most believe that keeping it at three sets is the right thing to do. The Aussie men today are three in action. So Alexei Popyrin up against Taylor Fritz. Alex de Minaur is a pretty clear favourite against Adrian Mannarino, but that's no walk in the park.
It's not. He's a lefty. He's a journeyman from France. He's a phenomenal competitor, Mannarino. And he plays so unusual as well. I think his racket's strung in about 20 kilos or something, or 20 pounds, something ridiculous. So he just uses the pace of his opponent. He plays very flat. He takes time away from you. It's not a done deal, but the way de Minaur's been playing, he's really on fire. So I think he's okay. I think he'll overtake the journeyman. I think looking at de Minaur, hopefully with a car crash collision there with Novak, in the next round. So that'd be great to see.
Yeah, so 46 in the world, Mannarino, 34 years of age. He defeated John Isner in four sets in the first round. This one tonight looks like an absolute beauty. Thanasi Kokkinakis versus Andy Murray. What a different match for Thanasi coming up tonight because, as we said yesterday, Fabio Fognini wasn't up for the fight and it only took 5 points last night for Thanasi to wrap that up. But it'll be a different story against Andy Murray, who leaves nothing out there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm licking my lips over that one. That's going to be phenomenal. That's the last match on Margaret Court Arena tonight. I think that's going to be a packed stadium. The roof's going to get blown off there. I mean, first of all, Andy Murray, what he did to Matteo Berrettini was just incredible. Five sets. I love seeing this man. He just reinvents himself. He looks bigger and better than ever. I walked past him last night. His chest is a bit thinner. It looks like he's really lost a bit of weight, but his legs are massive. He has done the work and he looks like he's really playing some great tennis. But I think more importantly, he loves the game. So Thanasi is going to have to reproduce some of this amazing tennis that we saw and we know he can play. We saw it against Sinner in Adelaide. We've seen it over the last few years. He's just had so much of his continual play broken up with injuries. So we're hoping Thanasi serves bombs. He's got to use his big serve and the forehand as a weapon. And if he extracts long rallies, I don't think that's going to be a problem. He's fresh. His legs are ready to go. Of course, he played against the wet blanket yesterday. Not much came from Fognini. So he's got plenty in the tank, which luckily for him, he's got the whole day just to prepare. Because yesterday, he was just sitting on edge. He didn't get to relax. He didn't have that day off. Because of the rain, he was waiting 7 hours for that match. So that really is a little bit of an issue because he just didn't get to go home to the hotel and relax and just have that day where you just kind of, you know, get your energy back. But I think, just watch out, everyone. That match is going to be on fire. I think it's going to be Thanasi's going to take it in four.
Let's hope you're right. That should be a cracker. It looks like we're not going to get too much rain today. It's not that warm down at Melbourne Park, but hopefully no interruptions. Louise, thanks for your time again. Enjoy day four.
Brian, thanks, Jules. Have a great day.
You too. Great to talk to Louise Fleming. Let's hope she's right that Rafa will be back and Thanasi Kokkinakis can get the chocolates tonight against Andy Murray. A little bit of footy news coming up after the news, but let's get to the newsroom with Anna Pavlou.